Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Bud Dickman with NFL Quiz. I'm going to ask questions of Phil Hendry, and then he answer them.
You want me to interpret that? Or?
No, he didn't know.
Okay, Bud is here. He's going to ask me questions about the national about football. Is that it?
Yeah, it's a football quiz. Because there's a Super Bowl coming up, and everybody, you know, be watching the Super Bowl.
All right, go ahead.
All right. I ask you football quiz, and you answer question.
Yes, you ask me questions about football.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Bud.
What's a dead ball?
What's a dead ball?
Right.
It's when the ball is... It's when the ball is not being... It's when the...
What Tom Green left on the operating table.
If this is going to be a humorous exchange...
No, it's just that's...
What Tom Green left on the operating table. A dead ball is when the ball is dead. The end of the play. It ain't what Tom Green left on an operating table.
That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
When you get 25 cents in change, you get what?
You get a quarterback.
That's right.
Ha, 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 ha.
Just go with it, man. All right. Something that you can eat.
What? Is this a football?
Yes, it's a football. Something you can eat.
I don't know. What? Something I can eat. Vegetables.
No. Idiot.
I'm an idiot. What do you get when you get 25 cents in change, a quarterback? Well, what is it?
Audible.
What is?
Something you can eat.
Something you can eat is edible, man.
No, in football, no, audible.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's audible. And that's the football term, right?
Right, because that's a quarterback say.
Jesus God. Something you can eat.
J-Lo.
Who, Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah.
What?
Fullback. All right, moving along.
Yeah, that's, isn't that a riot, okay?
No, here's one. The view you get when you watch a plumber fix your toilet.
The view, his butt.
Crackback. Now.
Give me that. Audible, something you can eat.
The school that you go to learn foreign languages.
The school that you go to learn foreign languages is the foreign language department.
Blitz. The bump and...
What do you mean, Blitz?
You never heard of the Blitz schools of a foreign language.
That's called Berlitz. Blitz.
That's what it's called.
First of all... For the people listening, a blitz is when either a safety or a cornerback doesn't hold their defensive position, but they rush the quarterback as opposed to dropping back in pass coverage. That's called a blitz. It's supposed to get the quarterback and the offense off balance.
And also where you go learn school language.
Yeah, I'm going to go learn French, man, at the Blitz School for Foreign Language.
Great. When you have a one-night stand and you leave before the other person wakes up in the morning, what's that called?
But is this football?
Yeah, but come on, Mr. Hendry. What a call.
Say it again.
When you have a one-night stand and you leave before the other person wake up in the morning.
You're having sex.
No. Football.
I don't know.
Bump and run.
Jesus H.
A man who bends over and the other guy would stand behind him.
That's the center and the quarterback.
Those are gay people. When you die in a...
No, it's not, man.
When you die in the desert and the buzzard's going to eat you.
Did you tell me that this was going to be...
Yeah, it's for a football quiz.
Football quiz, huh? This is a football quiz.
Yeah.
And this is when you die in the what?
When you die in the desert and the buzzards are going to eat you. What'd the buzzard do?
It's flying over you.
Circle pattern.
Hey, man.
Well, what's the matter?
This stuff nobody can relate to.
You can't relate to die in a desert.
Look at...
You do it every day on your show. It's like you're just dying in the desert.
Yeah, okay, bud. 1-800-449...
Well, what do you do?
That's the end of your football quiz, okay?
When you're underage and you ask a guy...
Give me that thing. When you're underage and you ask a guy who hasn't bathed in 3 years to go in and buy you and your friends a bottle of vodka before the school dance, it's called a bootleg. All right, man. Thanks a lot.
That's the NFL quiz, Bud Dickman.
Jackass. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I gotta keep Bud out of here. He's not a pro. He's not a professional broadcaster. And him coming in here and throwing in his little NFL quiz, crackback, and all the other nonsense. Just get him out of here. Get him back over to wherever it is that he works. Is he still helping those guys rewire that Griggs room in there? I think he needs to go in there and just hold a big metal pole up to one of the many sundry lightning storms we've been having lately, and see if it can't do him some good. All right, so 1-800-449-8686 is our number. And by the way, on our website, soon we will have our scrapbook up, the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendrieshow.com website. And in putting our website, putting our scrapbook together on our website, I've come across some interesting pictures of myself and some old audio that we're going to play for you today, but we're also going to post eventually on our website. And some of this audio is not extensive. It's like old commercials that I did with some famous people. I'll play that for you in a few minutes on our program. And just a couple of, like, two, three commercials that I did with a famous individual. But the pictures that both Janice and Chris, and I think, Craig, you might have seen a few of these, I was showing earlier, have me with hair. Now, those of you who know what I look like, you know that I'm, oh, the New York Times said I have a head like a howitzer shell. That was flattering. And... is that good, bad? What is that? Is that a statement on my manhood somehow? With a head like a howitzer shell, he hits the air. And a head like a howitzer shell. So I'm bald, and what I thought I'd do is put some pictures on the website of me when I had hair. And the oldest picture I think we're going to put up is about 22 years old, or 22 years ago, I should say, when I was around the age of 25, 26. And one of the pictures we'll put up is of me doing a midnight broadcast at Disneyland for an old rock station in Los Angeles with a partner of mine. And we had brought a girl. I shouldn't say we brought a girl. It just opened up doors, floodgates of things going. What did you do? You brought a woman in. We brought a listener of ours. We invited a listener to come with us who had won a contest. You can see Phil and Frank Bennett broadcasting live from Disneyland on New Year's Eve. And this was New Year's Eve 1978, going into 79. So this girl shows up, and there's Frank and I, and we had set up in the Carnation Pavilion to do our broadcast. And we're sitting there, and she shows up with her boyfriend, the winner, and the next thing I know, she's pulled a bottle of rum out of her purse, and she is, this chick is Frank was about, I'm looking at the picture, Frank was about 6 foot three, and this girl is almost as tall as him, and I forgot how big she was. She's a big, tall, pretty girl, but, you know, big, big, tall girl, and I remember her coming over saying, I've got some rum, and where can we get some cokes? I said, holy jeez. Well, the Disneyland guy was there, the rep. If you go to Disneyland and you do any media event at Disneyland or Disney World, they never let you go anywhere without a media rep, somebody from the company who accompanies you and travels with you and makes sure that you don't burn the place down. And this woman had a bottle of rum, and this guy was sweating bullets. He saw it, and he said to me, you got to understand, there's a strict policy at Disney. I said, I don't know what to tell you. What do you want me to do? Pour it out? I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I can't do anything. She's going to drink it. You've got to, somehow you've got to. So I said, I'll see what I can do. What do you want me to do? I said, get the, and meanwhile, as he's taking, you've got to get it away. As he's saying this to her, she's pouring some into my Coke. And I'm like sipping from it. Well, what do you want me to do? So in other words, I'm drinking a rum and Coke. Well, this guy's, please tell her to stop. Well, I'll see what I can do, you know. So that's one of the pictures, and I've got a full head of hair, so you won't want to miss that. Then we got some other pictures from me in China. And I traveled to China in the early 80s, and there's a picture of me standing on the Great Wall of China in bicycle shorts, because I rode a bicycle through China. And I know it doesn't sound unusual, but the Chinese in 1981, 82 had never seen, few had ever seen a Westerner. Few had ever seen a European, what they call a European or a Westerner. And fewer still had ever seen anybody in shorts. You don't see shorts, at least at that time. I've been to China in 20 years. You never saw shorts on anybody. Nobody wore shorts. The women, if my memory serves, I never saw a woman in a skirt. They were all in those little Mao pants, those Mao suits. So there's Henry standing on the Great Wall of China in a pair of shorts, and you don't see it in the picture, but I remember people walking by me just staring at me like I was some kind of a freak of nature. Granted, there are times when it's a valid opinion, but this was in China. They don't know from Phil Henry in China. There's a billion Chinese that don't even know I'm doing this show right now. It's just something for all of us to remember, by the way. That's something for, well, I was going to say Britney Spears, but I bet you there's a billion Chinese that know she's around. Let's see. That's something for Dr. Laura to keep in mind. There's a billion Chinese don't even know you're doing a radio show. And if there's a billion Chinese that don't know you're doing a radio show, there's a billion Chinese that think I'm fertilizer. They don't, Phil Henry to them, that's, what is that? That's something you cook on. They don't, it's not a guy. The question is, was I taller than anybody in that country? The Chinese are tall people. No. The answer is no. You want to find short people like, Craig, you lived in the Philippines. The Southeast Asian people are diminutive people. But the Chinese are tall. There's a lot, some big Chinese. Big. And I mean the women, too. Japanese, I don't know. There's some tall Japanese, lanky people. Chinese are huge. And they also have a great affinity for basketball, so that all kind of goes together there. And, of course, one of them, with a real cute little sense of humor, says to me, where are you from, my friend? I said, Los Angeles. Ah, fresh air. And so that was kind of a cute little thing that he pulled off there. So you'll see some pictures from there. I also have some pictures of me with such notable luminaries as, I had a picture of me with Peter Frampton when the two of us had hair, as a matter of fact, and I don't know where it is anymore. I got a picture of me with Steve Downes, who was the former host of Rockline, and some members of the Marshall Tucker Band. That was back in the day when that was rock and roll, Southern rock. Fiddle players actually were in bands back then. I'm not talking about the way John Cougar Mellencamp does that sort of down-home farm boy Dylan slash Woody Guthrie poet Road of America thing. I'm talking about dumbasses with fiddles. This is what I'm... See? I ain't talking about Kansas trying to do that art rock thing. I mean dumbbells with their fiddle player doing a whole Southern rock... Pappy was driving the stuff in the still up to the corner shop before the revenuers found him and chased him down, you know. Then we got some other pictures of family members, myself. There's another picture of me when I was five, and the only reason why I'm throwing that in there is so you can get some perspective as to what, at one time, I was pretty cute. And then there's some other shots that, how do I put this gently? I had a portfolio done once with an eye toward modeling. Yes, me. I know it sounds incredible, but at one time I was fairly fit and I had a full head of hair. and I had a portfolio of pictures of me to send around and to model. And a major cigarette company, as a matter of fact, almost hired me to do their print ads. You could probably guess who. But somebody else beat me out. But there's a few pictures of me with a lot of makeup on, and I have sort of a sullen, kind of a sullen, implosive look, not unlike the one you might get from a guy who likes guys, and he's sort of searching your eyes to see if you're the same kind of orientation. Sort of, I've seen you around the copy machine, you know. In other words, I look like Michael Bolton. Now, and there's one of me and Jeff. So anyway, it'll all be on the website. What the hell am I wasting all this freaking air for? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Check it out. Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to call and tell you how wonderful I think you are. You're a genius, and I don't know if anybody's called you.
See, I talk about gays, and right away I get that. See, so I got to really stop it. No, it wasn't for Virginia Slims. Yeah, you can probably guess the cigarette company. Oh, Virginia Slims? Menthol? So that'll all be on our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. You need a backstage pass to become a member of our website to get all the great audio that we got on that site. We also have our webcast on demand, yada, yada, yada. Please don't forget also about our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001 CD. The Best of the Phil Henry Show 2001, Bring It. You can order that at 877-616-7445, 877-616-7445. There's a bit of new Bin Laden videotape released. We don't know when, we don't know how, we don't know who. He's saying his typically endearing things, you know, some pretty dangerous stuff. On the videotape, he's talking about how he is sorry he's going to miss the Super Bowl, and he's... you know, can't wait to get back in the old USA. Just a lot of stuff about how we're all going to die in rotten hell. Freedom rights. Let's see. The latest Bin Laden tape says that human rights and freedom is doomed in America. If you see these videotapes, the guy is so transparent with his propaganda. Hey, Bin, I don't know what to tell you, but you're getting a little thin on material. I don't know whether it's because you need dialysis, got to get the blood recycled, whether you want a change of scenery, you're getting tired of the food, but you're really, you know, there is nothing more insufferably dull than inexorable anger, just constant anger and hate. That's all this guy is about, you know. So now we are doomed, freedom rights, humanity, and all of that stuff is just doomed, and we're going to rot, and our mothers won't recognize us. This is the latest, but if you saw it, it's out today, and one of those very, very courageous reporters from Al Jazeera was interviewing him. Now, this is what I call a news-gathering organization, Al Jazeera. These are all guys, they go right into the fire there, man, and ask real tough questions like, hi, and other things like, so you're really going to kick the Americans' ass, huh? You say, okay, great. That's some hard-hitting journalism right there. And there's also a deadline that's been extended for that reporter. Now, they gave 24 hours... But now they're given another 24 hours. And if we don't watch out, they're going to make another 24-hour deadline after that. Also, by the way, Bin Laden said Gary Coleman's been hogging the dialysis machine, and he's really pissed about that. So if you just get off that thing, Gary. No, seriously, the guys that took that journalist hostage, they gave a 24-hour deadline, and we all sort of, you know, we kind of greeted that with a collective dry fart. So then they extended it out, and well, then we're going to do another 24. Okay, fine. Which, of course, we're not going to meet that one either. Then it'll be another 24 hours. Sooner or later, they're going to have to kill this guy. But I'm sure the way the mentality runs in that part of the world, killing a guy whose hands are tied behind his back, blowing his brains out, especially a reporter, that's viewed as a very, very intelligent act. Naturally, the rest of the world is going to be on your side 3,000,000% if you blow the brains out of the head of a reporter. That's a highly intelligent maneuver. So goes the thinking in the Middle East. Bin Laden's sole post-September 11th TV interview aired. So why do they say this is the sole post-September 11th interview that has been aired? This will be interesting to find out. We'll talk about that in a moment. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Henry Show number. And also, we'll have a little moment, Phil Henry's work with celebrities coming up here on the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, so I'm going to do the thing with our celebrity corner here in just a minute, but here's the news story on Bin Laden's TV. See, this stuff is interesting to me. The recently released videotape, if you're just joining us, there's a new one. There's a new videotape. This is not the one. Oh, isn't this the one that I saw with the burlap? And the, no, this is an interview. And they show the guy interviewing him. Some real professional kind of guy from Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera, that's the name of a porn star, isn't it? This Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera. Accused terrorist mastermind Osama bin Laden said the battle has moved inside America in the only television interview he's granted since then, now airing for the first time. Well, why is that? Because CNN got a copy of this. And how did CNN get a copy of it? We don't know, but it's pissing off Al Jazeera big time. They don't like it. Al Jazeera did the interview, then they declined to air it. They did the interview October 21st, according to them. So that says that bin Laden was alive at least through the 21st of October. Now they do this interview. They declined to air it. They said it wasn't newsworthy, as if an interview with Osama bin Laden, even if he was talking about, his, for instance, his favorite pastime and the reason why he needs his blood recycled, sex with diseased farm animals. Let's just talk about that. Even if he was just discussing that, it's a newsworthy interview. And CNN said it felt otherwise. Once that videotape was in our possession, we felt that we had to report on it and show it because it is extremely newsworthy, said Eason Jordan, CNN's chief news executive, and we were dumbfounded as to why Al Jazeera would decide not to air it or even acknowledge the existence of the videotape. Well, the reason why Al Jazeera didn't air it and won't acknowledge its existence is because everybody that works for Al Jazeera is the concubine of Osama bin Laden, including all the men. What do you think about that? Al Jazeera, look, they don't have any. Look, you're talking about a part of the world that doesn't have any real authentic entity. Now, what do I mean by that? They don't have any real authentic government down there. Everything is a dictator or a sheik or some ass with a beret and a sword. Okay, this is not a legitimate form of government. This is just some ass who went to army surplus, picked up a beret and a sword. He's got more guns than the other guy, and he calls himself the Republic of the Islamic Order of Assholes, and that's the name of their country. The Iraqi Islamic Republic of Assholes. In fact, all the governments down there are a variation of the same name, the Saudi Royal Emirate of Flaming Assholes. The Iranian Islamic Republic of Jihad, Al Jazeera, and Christie Canyon. Dumbasses. This is the name. So there's no legitimate government. That's number one. Number two, I don't think any of those people down there know how to actively run a business. By that, I mean most of the businesses down there have some Western form of control or funding. Now let's move to their press, something that I know a little bit about. There is no real journalist that operates in the Middle East. There's certainly no journalist that has come out of the Middle East. They're all members of propaganda organs. In fact, I just saw a thing. One of the things I like to do every day is I log on and I read Iran Daily. I just like to check out what those knuckleheads are saying because they're really something else. And they have an organization over there, the Islamic Press, and they're going to get together and they're going to decide how they can best counter the Zionist Jewish propaganda. In other words, these aren't really reporters. These are all just, they do whatever they're told by the governments that they work for. Which brings us to the other part of the equation. They're all anti-Semitic. They're all Jew haters. They all would have stood right there at the right hand of Hitler as he pushed women and children into ovens. And I'm talking about Egyptians, Iraqis, Iranians, Saudi Arabians, Pakistanis, Lebanese, every single one of them would have stood there as Hitler gassed children. Why? Because they're Jews. And so that's the fourth part of our equation. They're all really boring because they're borrowing their philosophy from Adolf, and that guy went the way of an ashtray like 60 years ago. So why don't you guys come up with something new instead of this anti-Jew thing that you've been on? You and Bin, get a sense of humor. Something, anything. You'd think all that sex you have with animals would kind of make you just look in the mirror one day and go, look at me, I've been screwing goats for 30 years and I live in a cave. Ah! Maybe have just a little bit of a self-effacing kind of humor about yourself. All right, well, I don't want to segue from sex with goats to some work that I did once with Phil Hartman, but why not? I was going through my scrapbook, and I came upon some things, so I thought I'd share them with you today in this part of the show that we call Work That I've Done with Celebrities. Yes, just a few years ago. More than a few years ago, I was very, very privileged to have been a part of a recording session with the late, wonderful Phil Hartman. And these were two commercials that we did for the Blues Brothers movie. How many of you guys remember the Blues Brothers movie? Go ahead, raise your hand. It was a fun movie, wasn't it? Well, the commercials we did for the Blues Brothers movie aired nationally. We recorded them at a studio that was owned and operated by Shadow Stevens. Anybody remember Shadow Stevens? Of course, he was the center square on Hollywood Square for a long time. And Shadow is a longtime radio personality from Los Angeles, actor, a lot of things. Well, we went to Shadow's studio and we cut these commercials for the Blues Brothers movie. I'm not going to tell you why. I think it'll become evident as you listen to the commercials. I lost all feeling in my right side after completing these commercials. Now, let's listen to these 20-year-old commercials for the Blues Brothers movies. And this is the voices you'll hear will be the voice of Phil Hendry and the late, wonderful Phil Hartman.
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers, the most amazing motion picture entertainment of all time!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers are talking, are singing, are dancing spectacular, filled with unbelievable music destruction and laughter!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers, starring John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, the original Julia Jake and Elwin Blues, and the soul-filled odyssey through middle America!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers!
The Blues Brothers, also starring James Brown, the hardest working man in show business!
Jack Calloway, the original Heidi Holman himself!
Ray Charles, with more than George on his mind!
Harry Fisher, remember her from Star Wars!
Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul!
Henry Gibson, a long way from Leppin!
And the Blues Brothers Band, the most powerful collection of rhythm and blues guitars and brass ever assembled in the history of mankind!
The Blues Brothers, never so much energy, music, and thrills been captured from the silver screen.
The Blues Brothers, don't miss out.
The Blues Brothers, written by Dan Aykroyd and John Landis, executive producer Bernie Brillstein, produced by Robert K. Weiss, directed by John Landis.
The Blues Brothers, a musical comedy in the chance of a lifetime from Universal Pictures at a theater or driving near you.
The Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers, starring John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, rated R, restricted under 17, not admitted without parents.
Did you know which one was Phil Hartman and which one was me? Did you? I was the one going, Henry Gibson, a long way from Leppin. I mean, I can't even do it now. I mean, I was 27 years old. I was 27 years old back then, and, well, I could still get it up, and anyway, that we had to do that so fast because they wouldn't cut one word of copy. They wouldn't cut one word out of the script. We had to do it, and we had to get it within 60 seconds. And one of the producers was actually on the phone. One of the film's producers was actually on the phone because he wanted to hear the radio commercial that would promote the film that was going to be released soon. And I don't want to say his name because he's very prominent. But anyway, Mr. Brillstein was on the phone, and he said, I'm not cutting one word, not one word. You get that in 60 seconds. And so we did, and I walked out of there. Somehow I pinched a nerve in my neck, and the feeling along the surface of my right arm was gone for 48 hours. And I walked out of there. I sort of looked like Bela Lugosi in Son of Frankenstein. You know, Igor, when he has a broken neck, just, and he's dragging himself up the step. That's what I just sort of drugged my right side for a while. Here's the 30-second. This is the 30-second version of that. Phil Hartman and Phil Hendry.
The Blues Brothers!
The most amazing motion picture entertainment of all time!
The Blues Brothers!
Starring John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, the original Julia Jake and Elwin Blues!
Also starring James Brown, the hardest working man in show business!
Cat Calloway, the original Heidi Holman
himself! Ray Charles, with more than George on his
mind! Harry Fisher, remember her from Star Wars?
Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul!
Henry Gibson, a long way from Leppin!
The Blues Brothers!
Written by Dan Aykroyd and John Landis, directed and producer Bernie Brillstein, produced by Robert K. Weiss, directed by John Landis!
The Blues Brothers, a musical comedy in the chance of a lifetime! Don't miss out from Universal Pictures!
Rated R, restricted under 17, not admitted without parents!
I think I hit I think I had most of the work to do there. I think I had most of the copy. I think that was me saying, I don't know. All right, and then here is a commercial that it was me, Phil Hartman, and Shadow Stevens. And this is for a camera store called Ritz Camera here in Los Angeles. Here it is. And this is from the same, actually the same time period, around 1981.
Commissioner's office.
Chief, we've cornered Fingers Malone.
I'm on my way.
All right, Fingers, freeze.
Where's the fire, Fingers?
Just taking a night air, officers.
Night air, huh? What's in the code?
Two arms.
Look, fellas, it's a camera.
A Nikon EM.
All right, where'd you lift it?
I bought it at the Ritz Blitz.
He bought it.
Look, it's priced at $209.95.
Bogus tag. Book him.
Wait, you guys. The Ritz camera stores have blitzed the prices on Nikon, Minolta, Pentax, Olympus, Konica, Ricoh, Polaroid, Quarteray, and Canon.
Canon?
They've got guns there, too. I had to check it out. We rushed to Ritz to see what was developing.
Look, kid, I hear you got cannons.
Sure do. Want me to shoot one?
Everybody hit the floor!
Chick, it's just a camera.
You can get up now, man. Look, kid, you sell a camera like this to Fingers Malone?
Sure did, with accessories, lenses, and darkroom equipment.
And that's how this office found out about Ritz, the nation's largest camera chain, about their 7 Southern California locations, and about the legendary Ritz Blitz.
There you go. So that's for Ritz Camera. We did that. And I remember in that day I walked in and Phil Hartman was sitting there. He was reading a newspaper or something. And I said, I forget what happened. I think Shadow said, yeah, Phil just got back from doing a movie. I say, yeah, which one, Phil? The Gong Show movie. Oh, pretty good movie. He goes, oh, I wouldn't say that. No. You guys remember the Gong Show movie? That's what he said to me. He wouldn't say that. No. So there it is. I just was digging through some stuff today because Chris wanted me to bring in the pictures for the website, and I found these tapes. I said, well, I'll dub them off and let people listen. I listened to them in the car. I don't know that I could do it. You know what? I take that back. That's a stupid thing to say. I could do that. Give me the copy. I can talk that fast right now. Give me the copy. I can really talk that fast. The Blues Brothers movie. I don't know. Maybe I could. Maybe I couldn't. I know I was doing heavy amounts of crank off of a hunting knife in those days, but even still, I think I could cut those spots now. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So this has been celebrities that I've worked with, and I'll keep digging through the boxes to see if there's anybody else. Kind of just a look back, if you will. I'm Osama bin Laden. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right. And now, a phone call. George, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. If you think that people look strange at a guy wearing shorts in China, you should have seen my 5'11" wife with tall, long blonde hair walking down the street of Beijing,
yeah.
And all these little old Chinese ladies walking up, touching her hair, giggling.
Yeah, they don't. They
never saw one before.
They're freaked out by blonde hair and gray hair.
Absolutely. Well, she was blonde at the time and still is, fortunately.
Right.
And we had this great picture of this little Chinese lady who probably.
What do you mean, fortunately?
What do you think I'm doing?
Stand that comment either. So we'll say good day. Goodbye. My wife's still a blonde, fortunately. Oh, what do you mean, fortunately? What do you think I'm doing in Florida instead of Manhattan? I don't know. You know what they were interested in, sir? Your wife's third eye. All right, let's go to Glade.
Hello.
Named because his mother huffed a little of it before he was born. I'm just kidding. Yes, sir, what can we do for you?
You're the greatest, dude.
Sure.
You're the greatest.
What's up?
I had nothing to say.
Yeah, I gathered as much. He said he called up to BS with me, and so we had to dump that word. And what do you want from some chilled-out New Zealander? 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to tell you something. You know, this is a rare opportunity on this program when I give the phone number out and we're not doing a character bit or something for people to call and sort of give us their point of view, right? But every day is a disappointment. Every single day is a bitter, bitter disappointment. Because I leave the show the same way I enter the show, thinking that I'm probably the only guy that's got anything interesting to say today anyway, right? And generally, that's what it is. But I always, you know, I get up in the morning, I brush my teeth, I comb what's left of my hair, I bathe, I do my morning ablutions, I kneel before the crucifix, I say the Hail Mary, I do a rosary, and I say, please, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day I'm going to get phone calls that'll be valuable for the tuition, information, general entertainment of my audience. And I know that God won't let me down. I think a day will arrive someday. And anyway, Frank, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Oh, what?
So, well, I'll tell you what. I just love what you do. I just love what you do. And, you know, in Tucson, you know what it did last night?
Yeah, you know what? My voice isn't too good. You can just use your regular voice, and I think you'd sound just as homosexual. So just go back to the regular voice that you got. And if you love what I do, next time I'm going to charge you more for it. So just think about that one, Frank. You love me so much. You want to sit on my feet that bad, man? It's going to cost you $100 next time. Here's Jeremy on the Phil Hendry Show. Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Pretty good.
Great.
Hey, listen, I just want to call to let you know I'm from Houston. And,
They didn't get out on the air, pal.
Oh, I want to...
Yeah, because nobody cares. You understand that.
No one
cares. You and your city. What do you want? What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
I've got a question. I want to know if you'd ever consider doing this show live on stage.
Like I have done it live.
Miami,
I've done it. I've done it live for many people, many places.
On stage?
Yes, I have. I did it at the Museum of Broadcasting in Beverly Hills, like twice.
How about coming to Miami?
I did it. I wouldn't go to Miami on a. I wouldn't go to Miami again if you paid me all the money in the world. He knows I'm kidding. Here is Peter. Peter, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil.
What's your last name? Puffer?
No.
All right. Let's go over here to Sheldon. Hey. How you doing, Sheldon?
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good, man.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with this Bin Laden crap, I mean, I agree with everything you're saying. But has anybody ever read the Koran? I'll tell you what.
I have.
I have, too. And it's kind of pathetic at how these people interpret... short sentencing there.
You mispronounced a word.
Yeah, I think
you didn't short sentence you.
All right, anyway. They
when you read the Koran, do you have a nice tall boy of Coors next to you when you're doing it?
So go ahead.
You read the Koran, and what happened?
Well, okay, look. When I was 14 and I was, you know, doped up like you were back
Is
in,
Sheldon your Islamic name?
No.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. You know, within a few seconds, I know whether I got myself a phone call or I got hands full of sand. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. We continue to hope and pray.